Good morning, Pilgrim. It's me again. It's me again, the old Pilgrim. Let's begin this morning in Luke. In Luke 5. Jesus calls the first disciples. On one occasion, while a crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen, it seems, had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, he asked him to put it out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, through teaching, through with his sermons, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. There ain't nothing out there. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And when they had gone out there, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So full of fish were they. Such big ones were they. They signaled to their partners in the other boat, "Come out, help us, help us, help us, pull these in." And they came and filled both boats. They began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Yeah, he saw who this man Jesus was. He was more than he seemed to be before. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that had been taken. They knew it was a miracle. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. And indeed, from then on, after much teaching from their Lord Jesus, they were catching men. And thus we are. But let me go to one more bit of scripture here. Let me go to Jude. Because all who call themselves fishers of men are not true fishers of men. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God, Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, because of these men, because of this Lord Jesus Christ and these men who became fishers of men. Yeah, now listen to this. For a certain people had crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. And they deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the true Lord. They make up their own. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who didn't believe. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept an eternal change until gloomy darkness, until the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah, yes, Sodom and Gomorrah, and as surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality, pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Wow, eternal fire. Imagine eternity, forever, everlasting. Yet, in like manner, these people, also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh. They reject authority. What authority? The authority of God. And blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not even presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people, they blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain. They abandon themselves for the sake of gain, to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs. Reefs. Yeah, ships would come upon them unknowingly and be destroyed, sink into the deep. Don't you go near these folks. You also can be destroyed and sink into the deep. Yeah. They're hidden reefs at our love feast, as a feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, they're all throughout the church. Waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. False teachers, false preachers, false apostles, false prophets. It was also about these that Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are grumblers. These are malcontents. They're following their own sinful desires, their loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you pilgrim, you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, "In the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It's these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forever, amen." Short book, one that should be read often. Now I go to Spurgeon's sermon here, the two graphs of fishes, and I'll take a short bit out of it for you. This was preached on the 6th of April, 1862. He read from Luke 5:4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught." And from John 21:6, And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, you shall find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. The whole life of Christ was a sermon. He was a prophet, mighty in word, mighty in deed. And by his deeds as well as his words, he taught the people. It's perfectly true that the miracles of Christ attest his mission. But we ought not to overlook that probably a higher reason for the miracles is to be found in the instruction which they convey. To the world without, at the present time, the miracles of Christ are more hard to believe than the doctrine which he taught. Skeptics turn them into stones of stumbling. And when they can't cavil or throw out stupid questions that have no reason or logic behind them at the marvelous teaching of Jesus, they attack the miracles as monstrous lies and incredible. I doubt not that even to minds seriously vexed with unbelief, the miracles, instead of being helps to the believer, have been trials of faith. Few indeed are there in whom faith is wrought by signs and wonders. Nor indeed is this the gospel way of bringing conviction to the soul. But you see a lot of it today, don't you? Yeah, a lot of this miraculous healing and all this other phony garbage. Straight from the pit of hell, if you ask me. Nor indeed is this gospel way of bringing conviction to the soul. It's not the way. The secret force of the living word is the chosen way that Christ did it. And wonders are left to be the resort of that Antichrist by whom the nation shall be deceived. We, you and me, pilgrim, true Christians who by grace have believed, we view the miracles of Christ as noble attestations, as testimony to his mission and divinity, but we confess that we value them even more as instructive homilies, instructive sermons in themselves, than as attesting witnesses. It's our conviction that we should lose much of the benefit that they were meant to convey to us if we were merely to view them as seals to the roll, for they are a part, they're only a part of the writing of the roll itself. The marvels, the miracles, our Lord. The marvels wrought by our blessed Lord are acted sermons, full of holy doctrine, set forth to us more vividly than it could have been in words. The Lord Jesus, he taught lessons as follow-up to spiritual application of some of his miracles. In Matthew 21:21-22, we read, and Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, don't doubt. You'll not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it'll happen. Whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive it if you have faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to do as he says he will do. But there's a stipulation that isn't written here, but it's written elsewhere in the scriptures in so many words. Is it God's will that that mountain be moved? We can only do what is God's will. We can do no more. Unlike these phony teachers and their phony tricks. No. Does God want you to move a mountain? He wants you to move men. He wants you to bring men to him. Does he want you to move mountains? For what purpose? Mark 2:9-11. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Jesus said this. Luke 5:9-10. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish and they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. How long you be catching men? For Jesus, not for money, not for gold, not be able to buy a fancy airplane, not spend millions on a mansion, but for Jesus. Our treasure is in heaven, not on this earth. John 6:26-27. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. So don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father set his seal." John 9:39-41. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see. Those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Jesus, he taught so much. He did so much. And it was all that we might see who he was, who God the Father is. When you see him, you see God the Father. You see his love. You see his care. Are you learning from his miracles, from his words? His words, for his miracles were meant as sermons, not as something that we were to mimic. I hope I've made myself clear here. I stumble and mumble a lot, and I fear I don't make myself clear so much, but think on these things. Get into God's Word and read it. Study it. Learn from him. Not from me. Not to some preacher. Not from some, especially a false preacher. Learn from the Lord. Learn from his book. You spend time in his book and you can pick out the false things of this world. God bless, Pilgrim. Have a blessed, blessed day with Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you.